cruelty, but out of compassion to correct that person so they'll do proper activities. And the person who gets punished has to take the right attitude and understand that it is not one should become hostile to the punisher, but rather we take this as great mercy in order to correct us and to become grateful to that person. So that is what Purandana says in this verse, that actually the master is very merciful when he punishes the servant, and if he doesn't do so, then he's not very merciful to the person. So the attitude of the person who was punished is the correct attitude. So Prabhupada pointed out that if a person feels hostile to the one who punishes him, then he will never be corrected. So the same analogy is given here in the purport with the devotee. And so the devotee suffers from karma, which is punishment, and he takes the karma as mercy of the Lord. Karma is ultimately instituted by the Lord, so therefore he accepts all this karma as just punishment, and it is the mercy of the Lord, in the same way that the child should take the punishment of the parents as their compassion upon him to correct them. So in the same way, the devotee, though he may suffer in this world, he understands that the suffering is due to karma, and the karma is simply an instrument of the Lord to teach him to correct himself. So that is the proper attitude of the devotee. Of course, the devotee is very special. Not only he has this attitude, but simultaneously he offers respects to the Supreme Lord with body, mind, and words, which means he continues his devotional service. He does not interrupt his process of bhakti. Now another person may simply understand his karma and accept it, but he may not do devotional service. The devotee understands the nature of karma, accepts the mercy of the Lord, and he also performs bhakti and does not interrupt that bhakti in spite of his suffering in the material world and his karmas. So such a person therefore gains the mercy of the Lord. This is the statement in this verse in Bhagavatam. Brahma makes this statement after he was bewildered. So this person who acts in this way becomes the rightful recipient of the Lord's mercy. Doyabak. So the devotee, the lesson to learn from this is the devotee continues devotional service in any circumstance. And all the interruptions caused in the material world due to karmas or whatever, he simply takes that as mercy of the Lord and does not feel hostile to the Lord for causing these problems. So all circumstances in the material world, he becomes indifferent to them and doesn't take them one way or the other. Another verse says that the devotee considers heaven or hell to be equal. He doesn't, if he's in a hellish position, that is suffering, he does not really mind that. And if he's in a heavenly position of enjoyment, he does not mind that either. He doesn't care for either of them. But he serves the Lord. That is his main activity, his attitude. This is the an attitude which will develop in the process of bhakti as a person develops his devotional service. The stronger he becomes in devotional service, the more this will manifest. Simultaneously, of course, the process of bhakti is such that it destroys karmas. So we should expect that as a devotee advances, he doesn't suffer in the material world. That's also to be expected. On the other hand, we also see that sometimes devotees have great obstacles, like Prahlad. How can he have all these obstacles if all karmas are destroyed? So sometimes we can say the arrangements are made by the Supreme Lord for certain purposes. Of course, with Nitya-siddha devotees, they have no karma anyway. So sometimes these are arrangements of the Lord simply to instruct others. And it is an understanding of the Supreme Lord that these things are not a botheration for the devotee. So in the case of Prahlad, he didn't mind all these different things. He simply remembered the Lord. And they tried to poison him and throw him in fire, throw him off a cliff, etc. He wasn't really disturbed by any of these things. That showed that Prahlad was fixed in his devotional service. So that's the case of a very advanced devotee. In the case of other devotees, the Lord may also show karmas. Even though technically karmas are all destroyed, the Lord may keep a trace of karmas there, just to show that everybody must go through karmas. So that is explained by Bhavadeva Vijayabhusa. He says that, yes, bhakti destroys all karmas, and technically the devotee is free of karmas, but there may be a pattern of karma that remains even for a devotee that looks like karma. But actually it's not the same as the karma for a regular person. So we see that also in the case of Ajaneel. His karmas were all destroyed when he chanted accidentally the name of Narayana. But it looked like he still had karmas. So that also was not real karma. That is only a pattern kept by the Lord. So in the case of devotees, that may also be that there may be a pattern that looks like karma, but it's under the control of the Supreme Lord. So it's not actually the same thing. So in this way, in any case, the devotee, when he meets these looks like obstacles, then he considers it mercy of the Lord. And even if it's not karma, he'll simply think it's the mercy of the Supreme Lord, whatever it is. And he will not in any way become hostile to the Lord because of these different situations. Rather, he accepts them and is not overly affected by them and continues his devotional service. So the important point here is that he continues devotional service with no hostility towards the Lord. And he tolerates all the situations in the material world. And with that proper attitude, then the Lord becomes very merciful to him. And he quickly delivers him from the material world and puts him in the spiritual world. So that is how the devotees approach the punishment due to karma. The opposite is a person who has no faith. If he gets these punishments, he'll become hostile. And instead of having faith in the Lord, he will lose his faith. If he had any little bit of what was called faith, what wasn't real faith, then he will simply become hostile to the Supreme Lord. And he'll blame him for this. It says he's not God because he's not protecting me or whatever. So this is the attitude of one who has no real faith, who is an atheist or whatever. So this is a common argument given in the material world. There is no God because we see all the miseries in the material world. So therefore, we cannot believe in God. It's a very, very common argument given. On the other hand, then we'll find people that see the same things in the material world, same miseries, etc. But they have that belief. That it's not a real excuse for not believing in God. It's simply an attitude they have due to a prior conviction that God does not exist. So they simply give that as an excuse. So the devotee, in the face of all these obstacles, he simply accepts that somehow it is the arrangement of the Lord. He may not understand how it is happening, why it is happening, but he understands that somehow the Lord has his own plan. And he simply continues his devotional service with detachment from his material body. A similar thing. Of course, this may be a little better because at least they have faith in something and they don't become an atheist. So they may try to exchange faith for another process. So
They seem to have some initial faith with lack of faith in the process itself. So that is a little superior to having no faith at all. Yeah, that may take place in some cases where the Supreme Lord understands that a certain condition is unfavorable for the devotee of material wealth or whatever, then he may take that away. In some cases, he may not do that. He may give, as he gave to Dhruva. So it's not an inevitable rule that the Lord makes everybody poor. But we see all the kings, they were rulers of the world, so, and they were devotees. Many of the great kings were very wealthy. So it's not an inevitable rule, but where it's unfavorable for bhakti, it is considered the Lord's mercy if he takes that away and makes it their condition favorable for bhakti. That is considered a mercy also. Well, not necessarily Uttamadikari. No, Madhyamadikaris would also do this. Kanishas may not. They may not have strong faith. If they have Komala Shraddha, they may not. But even then, if they are swayed away one way or the other, those persons, with that, even with Komala Shraddha, eventually they will return to the process. Those who are maybe got very, very little faith, those are the ones who will maybe disappear or whatever if they don't get good material benefits from their, you know, actions or whatever. But of course, the whole point of pure bhakti is that one does not aspire for material benefits. So to expect that in itself means that the bhakti is rather mixed. It's not real bhakti if they're having all these other expectations in their bhakti. So in that case, it is not real pure bhakti, and it is therefore weak bhakti also. So they can definitely waver. But as Krishna says, there are four types of people who surrender unto me, and I accept them all. So even the mixed bhaktas, the Lord also accepts them, and he may respond to them and give them things to increase their faith. Okay? So it's not inevitable that the Lord will take everything away. Yeah, that of course, because one is in a distressful situation, one remembers the Lord. So that's the idea there, that in distress one calls out to the Supreme Lord. So then if we're in more distress, we'll call out to the Lord more. That's the reasoning there. Well, there's several things. One, of course, is experience, by which we get intelligence. Another is the intelligence coming from Scripture. So the only way we do that is we have faith. But the faith, of course, we can say comes from experience also, in the sense that we get Agata Sukritis to develop the faith. So in the one sense, it's based on experience also, of some sort. Yeah. So the devotee must understand that different people are at different levels, so we have to handle them differently according to if they have faith or no faith or whatever. If they have no faith, then we simply give them prasadam or something. If they have a little faith, then we can preach to them something or other and do something for them.
Mercy.
Well, if it's a just punishment, even then, if the government, in other words, the government has laws and the person's a murderer, then he is punished for that. So it's the same now, or there's just then. Now, the only problem is that the system is not foolproof, that's all, and it is subject to corruption in the modern age, even the ancient times, it could be also. So the application of the system is maybe faulty, but the principle is correct. Yeah, well, so as I said, the problem is there are, the application may have problems in it. The rich man gets a good lawyer, so therefore he gets less punishment, and the person who's less wealthy doesn't have a good lawyer, so he gets more punishment for the same crime. So that's the wrong application.
Hmm?